This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
But to start with, I'd like to welcome our first guest to the studio, Sarah Ditchfield from Candle by Events. Hello, Sarah. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Well, then, what can you tell us a bit about Candle by Events? What does that mean exactly?
So Candle by Events is an events company where all our events are around candle making.
Wow, that sounds fascinating. So what did you do before setting up this business?
So prior to this, I had a career in HR and training and development for about 20 years. And my husband bought me a candle-making kit for Christmas, and the world changed for me.
Oh, right. Okay. So he bought this candle-making kit for you at Christmas. So how did that go?
So he bought the kit for me, and over a glass of wine over that Christmas period, we made some candles together. And I discovered I quite enjoyed it. Candle-making is similar to cooking. And so I started to read around the subject, practice making different candles. At that stage, YouTube isn't what it is now, so it was difficult to find tutorials, courses to actually learn candle making. So it was from reading books and practicing. And I started to make candles for friends who quite liked them, and then actually asked if they could actually buy them to give the gifts to their friends, which was something I hadn't thought about. And all of a sudden, a business started to develop.
I see. So what was the first candle that you made?
So the first candle I made was in a very small jar, probably about 3 centimetres high, made of petroleum wax in purple with a lavender fragrance. And I still have it at home. It's half burnt, but I still have it in my cupboard at home.
Oh, how nice. That's great. It's a reminder of how it all started.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I'm thinking there are different types of waxes then, because you mentioned the petroleum.
That's right. There's different types. There's petroleum wax, which is the wax that most candles you buy in the shops are made from. But an up-and-coming wax is soya wax. And that's the wax I tend to use when I run workshops. But you've also got beeswax and rapeseed wax from those lovely yellow flowers that we see at the moment. You can have a wax from the oil from that. And then you also have a gel wax. So there's different waxes that you can use.
And what is soya wax? Is it anything to do with soya milk?
It's from the soya beans. So,
oh, really?
Through a special process, the oil is extracted from the soya beans.
Gosh, yeah. Incredible. That's amazing. So at what point did you think, right, I'm going to give up the day job and start my own business doing this?
Well, I had actually taken a bit of a career break when I had my children. So how it developed was I initially sold the candles to my friends. And then I started to sell candles at craft fairs and then local shops and also restaurants. So if you went to a restaurant locally where I live, say for Valentine's Day, you were given a candle, which was actually made by me. And that was similar for Mother's Day at local hotels. And that was for the business for a bit, attending these craft fairs. And then people would say to me, how do you actually make the candle? And I thought, oh, I could show people because I've got a background in training development. So my poor girlfriends were the guinea pigs again, and I started to practice with them, running some workshops, and then it developed from there.
And how long are the workshops? Are they a day or half a day?
They tend to be about 3 hours. So we run workshops for adults. I have public workshops so people can come to which I run monthly. As I find there's quite a few ladies out there, generally ladies, but we do have men too, who would like to learn to make candles. But we also run hen parties. Works quite well. It's often the afternoon entertainment.
I can't imagine them having glasses of wine.
No, well, they sometimes do, and then
go
horribly wrong. No. But it tends to be the afternoon entertainment. And it works quite well because you've got a group of friends who don't all necessarily know each other. You've got mum-in-law. So they have the party in the afternoon, and then they probably say goodbye to mum and mum-in-law and go out on the razz.
But yeah.
it works very well. And yes, I do allow them to have a glass of Prosecco whilst they're making the candles.
Okay. And presumably at the end of the course, they've made their candle.
Yeah, absolutely. They make several candles. They make like a pillar candle, a fragrance ting candle. We use the beeswax. So they go home with about 4 substantial candles and then about 10 different tea light candles too. So they go home quite a goodie bag.
Oh, that sounds really good. Yes. And how difficult is it to make candles? I mean, do you have to handle, the melted wax? I mean, how does it work?
Yeah. So for the workshops, I have some special little wax melters, little pans that we melt the wax in. But if you were to make a candle at home, you just do it on a double boiler, similar to make it melting chocolate. So you have a bain-marie, you have a saucepan that you half fill with water, you put another pan on top and you put the wax in the top pan. You should never put the pan directly on the direct heat because you are burning a fat in essence, and of course you could end up with a chip pan fire, so not recommended.
No, they need to come on one of your workshops.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And presumably then the melted wax goes into the container. And then how would you set it? Is it
okay.
in the fridge? Or?
Yeah, so you would you melt the wax and then you add the candle dye, which is a special dye that you use, and a fragrance oil if you want it to smell nice. And for that, you can use either essential oil or you can use a special candle fragrance oil. You can't just grab perfume bottle and squirt it in. You do need a special fragrance oil. So you add that and then, yes, you would pour into the mould where you have obviously a wick that you've already put in the candle container. And then you leave it to set at room temperature. You wouldn't put it in the fridge because if it cools too quickly, it can crack. So you tend to leave it at room temperature to set, which depending on the heat, day like today, it's going to take longer than the depths of winter.
Yes, in the hot weather, it must be a bit problematic.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, sometimes we often run workshops outside in the summer, which works well. But obviously, if it's very hot, we need to go and find a shaded area. And vice versa, in the winter, they can set quite quickly, so we need an ambient room temperature.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think of the appeal of candles?
The appeal, I think there's something around the light, the flickering light of a candle. I think there's appeal around the fragrance and the smell that you get from a candle. And also just the different, how they look. There's so many different types of candles you can get these days.
Well, they're so popular, aren't they? Why do you think there's been this sort of comeback?
I don't know. I mean, I think candles have been around for a long time. I think more novelty candles are probably more available now, which are more appealing. And to make candles, you know, you can buy the materials to make candles relatively easily these days.
Yes, and I see you've written a couple of books, haven't you? The first one, you co-authored Craft, a 320-page book. My goodness, that's a long book, published by Dorling Kingdesley in October 2012. And, of course, you've got this new one now, Making Candles, which is absolutely beautiful. It's got some fantastic illustrations down here and all sorts of candles that you can make. It's wonderful. How long did it take you to write this?
So the process took a while. I was approached by Search Press, who are the publishers for the book, about 18 months ago now, who asked if I would be interested in writing the book. And then I probably started to write it about a year ago, and it took about 4 or 5 months, because it's not just writing the book, it's checking that I've used the right wicks and the right wax and how they burn. There's quite a lot to the perfect candle. It's not just making the candle, it's having the right size wick for the right size container, etc. So practicing all of that. And then last summer, I had a 2-day photo shoot where the photos were taken, because in the book there's a lot of step-by-step photos in there. And then the book then is typeset and signed that off in December. And then it was actually printed in China.
In China?
Yeah. And then I think caught the slow boat back from China and came out about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, well, congratulations, because it's an absolutely beautiful book, so beautifully illustrated. And you can buy it, you can make all sorts of things, like a butterfly candle stack and a glass votif, clamshell rose petal, wax melts. They look beautiful, absolutely lovely. And you're generously going to give one away as a competition, aren't you?
That's right. I've got a book to give away along with a rolled beeswax kit and a £5 gift voucher off one of our workshops.
Well, that's fantastic. So if anyone wants to enter that, please could you send your details to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, and we'll pick a winner at random. So if you could do that by the end of the week, that would be great. So any plans for any more books?
Not yet. I mean, I'm enjoying this book, and who knows, though? I'm always looking at new ideas. I'm constantly looking at Pinterest. I get a lot of my ideas from the internet, but, you know, travelling, going to craft fair. So I've already got a few ideas. So who knows what the future might bring.
Oh, very exciting. And also I see that you run team building candle making workshops. How do they work?
That's
exactly
right. So team building workshops are great fun. So we demonstrate three or four techniques. So it may be how to make a pillar candle, a container candle. And then in teams, groups then actually make some candles themselves. They have to come up with a brand name for their candles. We give them the individual pricing, so they have to price the candles and then put a pitch together and then present to a team. And we have cardboard masks of Alan Sugar and the dragons. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's a bit like Generation Game meets Apprentice meets Dragon's Den.
Oh, what a wonderful idea. Yeah. And what's have you done some... Have you run some?
Yeah. One we did, which was great fun, was it was a team of seven companies coming together. And so they had a theme of the Magnificent Seven. And they were all dressed up as cowboys and Indians, which is kind of interesting. But their brief was to make some candles for the most wickedest, wildest cowboys in the Wild West. And in teams, they made the candles. So there was a lot of dynamite made.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And so there were some candles that were cone-shaped, so they looked like tents. So it's very interesting, actually, how people interpreted and what they actually made.
How interesting. Yeah. And I see you also do birthday parties for children. Presumably the children have got to be a certain age.
Yeah. We tend to do from age 8 upwards. Under 8, we will make candles, but we would tend not to melt the wax. But age 8 to about 11 is probably the peak age. And they make heart container candles. They then make some little tea-light candles, and then they paint some tea-light holders and decorate their container, and then they decorate a car party bag. So it works very well. And we have a bit of a game at the beginning of Guess the Fragrance. And I have some pretty obscure fragrances that I get them to smell.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
such as?
Yeah, such as grass. That always goes down very badly. They don't like grass. And then you give them things like gingerbread, which I would have thought they would guess so easily, but they struggle with gingerbread. And then we've got fragrances like bubble gum, which always goes down well.
Oh, that's an interesting fragrance.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah, for coming in to see us today. So if we could just recap, can you just run through the competition prize if anyone would like to enter?
Absolutely. So it's a copy of the new books, Making Candles, along with a rolled beeswax kit and a £5 gift voucher off one of our workshops or parties.
Okay, that's great. And if you'd like to enter that, just send your details to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk and we'll pick a winner at random. And Sarah, would you like to give us your website address in case people want more details about your workshops?
Yes, absolutely. So the URL is www.candlebyevents.co.uk, and you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all under the name of Candle by Events.
Okay, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
So that was Sarah Ditchfield of Candle by Events, and that completes the first part of our programme. In the second part of our programme, we'll be talking to Tanya Fraser, business coach.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Do you need help with your Apple Mac, but you don't know where to go? Rafael is your local Apple certified support professional. He can help you with any of your Apple needs, such as setting up iCloud accounts and family sharing. Or perhaps you'd simply like to learn a few new things about your Apple Mac. Simply visit www.rafalkukla.com or call 07907 795000 today to arrange an on-site visit in the comfort of your home or office. That's 07907 795000 for peace of mind Apple support.
In Guildford and the County of Surrey, there's a wide range of things to see, do and enjoy. If you're looking for somewhere to eat, somewhere to stay, or somewhere to take the family, or perhaps you want to visit the countryside or indulge your passion for art, culture and heritage, explore bustling towns or take in a show, find a place that's romantic and peaceful. Whatever you're looking for, you'll be spoilt for choice. You'll find so many things to do. Visit Guildford.com is the place to go to plan your days and nights out. You can also book tickets, making us your one-stop shop. So go on, log on now to visitguildford.com. Great times are just a click away.
Hi, Dan here. Join me every Tuesday evening from 6 till 8 for great music and anything else that catches my eye. At 6:30, we'll have the Amdram Shoutout, a chance for a local theatre group to let you know what they're up to. From 7, it's the 80s Hour. Spend your Tuesday evenings with me, Dan Curtis, on Brooklands Radio.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk. Or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello there and welcome back to Just Women with me, Jackie Mitchell. I'm now joined in the studio by Tanya Fraser, business coach. Hello, Tanya. Thanks
Hello.
For coming in.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So before you became a business coach, mm-hmm. what did you do?
I ran a PR firm in London. Essentially made sure that the operations and the company, everything ran smoothly to allow the PR people to go out and do what they did best, which is promote companies, build awareness and communicate mostly with investors and the financial community.
It sounds as though you were doing a lot of administration and organising systems, would
yes.
I be correct?
Yes, it's organising the company, managing the HR department, the finance department, operations, office management, that side of it, and also gathering data. I love data, so putting in a lot of databases, gathering it all and come up with sort of business intelligence to allow the senior staff and the owners of the business to make sensible decisions about future investment and things like that.
Okay, and at what point did you think, right, I'm going to run my own business, I'm going to go freelance?
It came to a point where I'd been doing the same thing for a few years and there was nowhere for me to go. We were a fairly small agency, about between 15 and 20 staff, and the next place would have been CEO, and that was the owner of the company.
So right,
slightly
okay.
difficult to unseat
yes,
seat that person. And then I thought about what is it that I want to do, and I've always enjoyed working with small companies, for small companies, during their growth phase and as they develop and become more established. And I love all the aspects of it. And looking at the job market was very much how I would have to specialise in one area or another, whether it be HR, operations or finance. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I want to do all of it. So I decided to go out on my own.
And good for you. And how did you go about developing your business?
In the beginning, it was very much going out networking. Mm-hmm. So that is the key. That has been the key for me, is going out networking, is finding the networking groups that work for you and having the networking strategy. And then going out meeting people and talking about yourself, but also talking about people and their businesses and finding out what makes them tick, what their challenges are, and where they're struggling. Because that's where I can come in and say, have you thought about doing this? And so many people, they're very good at what they do. But then as a small business owner, you have to be everything. You have to be your marketing person. You have to be your finance person. And it might not be your forte. You might not have the experience in that. So it's coming up with those little tricks in the trade so that you minimise the time that you spend on it, so you can focus on the fun stuff.
Indeed, absolutely. Yeah. So was it difficult finding clients?
It took its time. You build with any sort of people buy from people. So you build relationships. And especially when you talk about financial stuff and operational and small businesses as well, it's, you know, it's people's livelihoods. So you have to build that element of trust. And I come to it from a very sort of open, transparent and sort of collaborative approach. So I'm all about breaking down barriers and getting communication going within the company. So if you have a company that's very hierarchical and isolated and you have a certain way of working, then I might not be the right person for you. But if you are very much developing a team where everyone sort of chips in, does the best that they can, then that's where I can come in. But yes, you have to build, it's a building of the relationship and building trust, because they are entrusting their business to me.
And so how do you help the small businesses streamline their systems?
It often starts with the conversation. So we're looking at what they're currently using, what they want to get out of it, where they're wanting to go. So I don't necessarily get involved in the strategy of the business. They have the vision and the strategy. So ensuring that the vision sort of is embedded in everything that they do, and also looking at the technology, the software, the hardware that they have, is not about having the latest thing. It's not necessarily about having lots of different things, is getting the most out of what you have, and a lot of the time less is more.
Right.
Getting those bits of pieces to talk to each other. How do you get them sort of information to flow from one bit to another? How do you get the client journey to sort of run seamlessly through the business?
Yes.
And
yes.
all the different departments, whether it's just you representing all the departments or whether you have different people working for your business, how do you get them involved and sort of integrated into it?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So it's about providing a framework and a structure. And that structure really to sort of support you and not cage you.
Yes, indeed. And at the end of the day, to save time and money.
Yes, that is. It gives you the time. And it's amazing how, especially if you have a few employees, it's about finding the capacity. It's amazing how much capacity you can find within a business just by having a look at how you're doing things and minimizing the amount of time you spend on admin. And that really is it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I also see that you're a fellow at the RSA. What is that exactly?
So it's the Royal Society for Arts, Engineering and Manufacture, I think. And it's a sort of charitable organization where the members are committed to essentially trying to make the world a better place. It's dealing with you make a commitment to deal with the challenges in today's society, whether it be economic inequality, environmental issues, social inequality, and all of those things. And in the work that you do, have that in the background is how can you sort of give back to society through the work that you do or the charitable works that you do. And I just love the ethos of it because, again, it goes back to the collaboration, supporting each other. And I've met some wonderful people through that organization, and there's some really interesting research and work being done, being sponsored by it, and also done through the auspices of the RSA.
That sounds very interesting. Yes. And also I see you've joined Farnham Speakers, so do you do a lot of public speaking?
More and more. It came out of having sort of moved down to Hampshire from London about a year ago and not knowing anyone in the area. So going out and meeting, and someone suggested, oh, Farnham Speakers, which is part of the Toastmaster organisation.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
I went to a couple of meetings, and it's structured in a way that you make your speech, and the speech gets evaluated, and the meeting runs to a set format. But it's a wonderful way of learning sort of the tricks and the trade of doing public speaking. And on each speech, you focus on a different thing. And then also about giving feedback. So if you're evaluating someone's speech, you have to listen to not just what they say, but how they say it, and does it fit with the brief of what they're meant to be doing. And then giving the constructive feedback, because, again, a lot of what I do in my business is about giving feedback. And it's not about criticizing. It's about, you know, constructive, so that they can build on it and improve.
And what sort of subjects have you had to do talks about as part of the learning process?
Any subject. You can pick any subject. So,
want to give us some examples?
Well, the last speech that I did a couple of weeks ago was about the emergence and the evolution of the Indo-European languages.
My goodness.
Because coming from Finland, and being a minority Swedish speaker in Finland, Swedish is my first language.
Right.
But you have Finnish. And Finnish is fairly far removed. It's not related to anything else in Europe apart from Hungary. So it's really looking at that that journey, where it comes from. And you have for instance, the Indo-European languages, which is French, German, English, all the Slavic languages. They all come 4,000 years ago from a little area sort of between the Black and the Caspian Sea. But at the same time, there were also a group of people moving east to India, the Bengals. So a lot of those languages come from the same origin. And it's fascinating just looking at how it changes, how they're so different, but they all sort of have a common origin.
Amazing, yes. Yes. So do you have any advice for people about public speaking, what they should do?
Talk about things that you're passionate about. Talk about things that you know. Speak slowly, slow down, and to remember to breathe.
And, yes, I can imagine breathing is very important.
Very important. Don't be afraid of silences.
Right.
You think they're much longer than they actually are. And one of the reasons I joined Farnham Speakers is to be able to make the connection between everything that's in my head, all the thousands of thoughts in my head, and actually having them come out in some form of coherent manner that I think is coherent.
Oh, good for you. But of course, yes. You do training courses, don't you? So I should imagine that would help.
Yes.
This would help.
The training courses that I do is in Excel and sort of operational items. So they're very logical and they're very structured. And things like that. But it's, again, communicating what you do to people who may not be as logical, might be much more creative. So, again, it's about that communication. My role as a trainer is about having them understand without having to spend so much time, like, focusing on what I'm saying. Is what I say has to be on their wavelength, because then they can pick up the training, then they can learn, then they can spend their time focusing on learning as opposed to trying to translate what it is that I'm trying to say.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Excel, so what does the training course cover on Excel?
So bespoke Excel training is, I actually look at what it is that you need to learn. So we talk about what it is that you're using, so whether it's a expense tracker or a database or anything like that, what it is that you're wanting to do with the information. And then really I then say, okay, you're at this level and I want you to learn this. So instead of doing introduction to Excel, which is very broad but covers a lot of subjects, I can pick quite one or two subjects and go quite deep into it. So it's never for longer than half a day, because your brain won't take it. My brain won't take it. And yes. Then it's going quite detailed and in-depth. So you learn the skills that you need. And then don't worry about everything else. Everything else can come later on.
Right. And when is the next course then?
I'm planning on doing one in June, but if you want to do what I find is the bespoke, so the one-to-one training can be done at any time. So it's contact me and we'll set a date and then we'll figure out what your individual learning plan.
Okay. And is that the only subject you do training courses in, or do you do training in other areas?
Well, I'm an expert in any of the Microsoft packages. So if you want to upskill yourself in Word, PowerPoint, Excel, a bit of Outlook, then there's certainly that. So people who come back to work and find that the Microsoft Office has moved on, and how do you kind of work with all those little tweaks and things like that, then I can, again, help out with that.
And what about security software? Do you cover that as well?
No, I leave that to the IT experts.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes, it's sort of knowing when you need to pass things on,
of course,
as well. And I,
yes.
You know, my network, I'm building all that up so I have my sort of team of people that I can call on when needed.
Of course. Okay, well, thanks very much for coming to talk to us. And would you like to give us your website details so that people can get more information from you?
Yes, so my website address is thewholeisgracer.com. And yes, that's where you can get in touch with me.
Well, thank you very much, Tanya.
Thank you.
So that was Tanya Fraser, business coach, and that completes the second part of our programme. On the third part of our programme, we'll be talking to Zara Elliott from the Blush Academy.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Our relaunched shop and post office in Church Street, Weybridge, has an improved retail offer, and we provide the vital services you need from your local post office. We have 20 foreign currencies on demand and the new simple and safe travel money card that's prepaid multiple currencies on one secure card. Plus, for the last 10 years, we've been number one for travel insurance, as recognised by the UK travel industry. And for tax-free savings, we have the Premier Cash ISA. So pop in and see us at 24 to 26 Church Street, Weybridge. We are open 7 days a week, including Sundays 10 till 2. The Post Office, Weybridge. Convenience on your doorstep.
Enjoy a family day out at the Kempton Steam Museum and the Hampton and Kempton Waterworks Railway. The railway operates every Sunday and on Saturday the 20th of May. The Kempton Great Engine, the largest triple in the world, will be in steam on Saturday the 20th and Sunday the 21st of May. And there will also be a display of fascinating stationary engines. Follow the brown signs to the Kempton Steam Museum and to the railway from the elevated sections of the A316. To find out more, see kemptonsteam.org or hamptonkemptonrailway.org.uk. The magic of railway on your doorstep, every Sunday, 10:30 till 4.
I know how to avoid a soggy bottom. I know the name of cinema's most famous white shark. I know all the things you can do with a Maris Piper. And I definitely know the TV show that made this music famous. But I don't know my state pension.
There's a simple way to find out when you can get your state pension and how much it'll be. Search Your State Pension and get to know yours.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello there and welcome back to Just Women with me, Jackie Mitchell. I'm now joined in the studio by Zara Elliott, beauty therapist and founder of the Blush Academy. Hello, Zara. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for having me today.
Well, before we get on to all your various business interests, perhaps we could find out a bit about how you got started. I mean, what was your first job?
Well, I've been in the beauty industry for over 20 years now. It's been my passion all along. And I got into it when I was about 18, and I've just really progressed. Opened a beauty salon in 2005, closed that just shortly after recession in 2010, and I've been working from home ever since.
And what do you specialise in?
So I specialise in semi-permanent makeup or cosmetic tattooing.
And what can you explain a bit about that? What is cosmetic tattooing exactly?
So it's a specialist technique of applying makeup looks. Great for people who have overplucked their eyebrows over the years. Perhaps they have struggled, you know, seeing properly to apply makeup. So there's lots of, it provides a solution for lots of women.
So would that be their eyebrows are tattooed?
Yeah, so just be using very specialist techniques, natural hair strokes, just providing a natural look for lips, eyeliner and eyebrows.
Oh, right. So you can use it for eyeliner as well?
Yes.
Gosh,
so no more smudging eyeliner or, you know,
yes.
It stays put. So
what appealed to you to go into that area as opposed to any other?
I think really it was because I couldn't quite get the results I wanted with the beauty treatments that I was doing before. I was put in touch with quite a few ladies who had recently had chemotherapy and they'd lost their hair. And I really just wanted to be able to provide a solution for them.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I got started, I knew I was doing the right thing. So, yeah, I love it.
So you've been doing that for about 13 years, I guess.
Yes. So skin is another passion of mine. I've turned my hand to quite a lot of things. But, yeah, my specialist treatment now is semi-permanent makeup.
And do you travel to the clients or do they come to you?
No, I work from home in New Malden. I have a studio at home.
Oh, right. So they come to New Malden.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And what do you find is the most popular form of skin tattooing?
Actually, eyeliner is one of my specialties. I do a lot of eyebrows, but eyeliner is really popular and becoming more so, just because it's saving women so much time in the morning. And, you know, if they're sporty or they swim, they just like the fact that it stays put and they don't have to worry.
That's great. Yes. So anyway, so you've been doing this very successfully for several years and then suddenly you decided to start up the Blush Academy.
I did. Yes. I had my salon in 2005, and quite frankly, when I opened the doors, I really didn't know what I was doing with regards to business.
Oh, right.
I knew practically the treatments, but I really just had to learn as I went along, and it was a really tough exercise, and you can feel a bit isolated. So Blush Academy is a business training academy that's based online, and it's really to help people in my industry who are going it alone in business. Maybe they're makeup artists, massage therapists, they might be working from home, or they might be mobile. And it's just really supporting them to help them grow their business and, you know, make it a success and feel supported.
Right. So you started that last year,
I did.
So July, was it?
Yes. So it's a new venture. It's been really well received in the health and beauty industry. And it's really exciting. It's, you know, really a great. I'm passionate about helping, you know, women in business generally, but to help women in my industry run their business or men, you know, that's what I love. So, yeah, it's really exciting to be kind of part of that.
Do you have many male students?
Not at the moment, but I think there are male students coming forward now. So, you know, yes, it would be great to see more men.
And
in
what
our
sort
industry.
Of what are sort of subjects do you cover in this in the courses?
So we run courses all based online, all to do with marketing for your business, employing beauty therapists, specifically employing beauty health and beauty staff, looking after yourself, your own, you know, mental health, well-being, time management, how to deal with clients, customer care, how to do client consultations, you know, just everything around being in our industry, really, but, you know, specifically for health and beauty practitioners.
Right, and presumably then this is an online course.
Yes, so it's going to be a mixture of online courses, membership, and I would like to sort of think about doing face-to-face courses at some point too. So at the moment we're having our website redone, so we've got lots of new exciting courses being developed. So
when will the new website be up and running, do you think?
We're hoping within the next month or so. There's a hell of a lot of content to go on there, and we just want to make sure we get it right for the launch. So, yeah, hopefully soon.
And then presumably at the end of the course, they get some kind of certificate, some kind of qualification.
Yes, so I'm trained in teaching, and they'll get a qualification at the end of it, a certificate. But more importantly, they'll be part of our community, so they'll feel supported in business, which is something I didn't have. I didn't feel supported in business. So it's great to be able to offer that now.
And how long are the courses?
So we have a selection. So we have a membership, which is ongoing. People can cancel at any time. And we do short courses that range from kind of 7 weeks, couple of months, but people can do them in the comfort of their own home, and it doesn't really matter how long it takes them to do it. They can kind of do it in their own time but feel supported in the journey.
And when you say membership, what do you mean exactly?
So they can be a member, so to pay a nominal fee they could be a member of Blush Academy, and every month they'll get a course, they'll get access to our online library, which consists of lots of templates to help their business specifically. And yeah, just be part of our kind of online health and beauty business community.
Fantastic. Yeah. That sounds really good. And where did you get the idea from?
I got the idea because I, being in business and running the salon myself, I just felt out of my depth. I felt isolated, and I wish I'd have had some more business skills, learned some more business skills at college perhaps. So it's really filling that gap of what they don't teach you at beauty school.
Yes, and who would be eligible to come on these type of courses? Will they have had to have done a sort of foundation beauty course first?
Yeah, I mean, basically it would be people that are qualified in, you know, makeup, massage, holistic therapies, beauty treatments, nail technicians. They're going it alone. Perhaps they're working it around their family. And it's really just about guiding people, you know, to make the best of their business and, you know, make it a success.
And supposing there was somebody out there who wants to become a nail technician, presumably they need to go and do the basic skills first.
Yes.
And then come to you for the business side of it.
But we can direct them on what courses are best and, you know, getting insurance, being licensed and all the legalities around, you know, operating properly.
Okay, and then what about networking? Because I read an article that you thought Athena helped you enormously.
Athena has been just a lifeline for me. I joined Athena 2 years ago. I joined Wimbledon and Putney, and that's run by Julie Eltham. When I first started, I was absolutely petrified of public speaking. I was isolated. I was working from home, you know, on my own. And joining Athena really has just, I've flourished really. You know, they've helped me, supported me, and I've just become a lot more confident. Blush Academy was born from being an Athena member, being encouraged by other Athena members. So it's been nothing but a positive experience for me.
Well, that sounds absolutely marvellous. Yes, fantastic. Yes, I know Julie well. She's been on this show.
Yeah, she's great.
So also the other thing is you've been juggling, haven't you, with being a single mother?
I have, yes.
So that must have been extremely difficult.
Yes, I had twins at 19, and I had a break from the beauty industry while I was bringing them up. But then I got back into it because it was my passion, and I loved what I do. But yes, it's always been a struggle. I've brought my boys up alone. It's always just been the three of us. But my work is my passion, and I've always just been determined to make it work around my family. So,
and it sounds as though you have, which is great. So what are they up to? Are they going to follow your footsteps then into the beauty industry?
I don't know about that. They're 20, so, you know, their priorities are a bit different at
the
moment. But, you know, they're great boys. They're great. I'm very proud of them. Yeah.
Great. And so what are your plans for the future then?
So really want to just grow Blush Academy, still offering my semi-permanent makeup services because I love what I do, but really want to grow Blush Academy and roll it out to help as many, you know, business owners in our field as possible, really.
And also, I think you're thinking about franchising, aren't you,
Yes, that would be a great... That's, like, on my list. It's my future inspiration, hopefully, yes.
And what appeals to you with the franchise format?
Well, I just think we'd get the message out there, and I would actually like to retire one day, so it's kind of part of my retirement plan.
Yes. Oh, okay, that sounds good. And also, another thing that helped you with your business, I believe, is social media. You thought that helped you tremendously.
Social media is quite a difficult thing, but when you get it right, it's so powerful. One thing that I wish I'd have known sooner is that you need to be patient with social media. It takes a lot of time and effort to build social media, but to get a messenger out there, it's by far the best way to market, I feel.
And which ones in particular? Twitter, Facebook?
So I think it's really
Instagram.
Yeah, I think it's really important to go where your clients are or your customers are. So for Blush Academy, it's Twitter and Facebook. And for my day job, so semi-permanent makeup, my clients are hanging out on Facebook. So I think it's just important to go where exactly your target market are, you know.
Yes. Yeah. And have you found new students through social
Absolutely,
media?
Absolutely, yes. And through social media and through being featured in trade publications and then them sharing it on their social media. So it just gets the message out there, yeah.
That's fantastic. And what sort of costs are involved with the programme?
So to be a member is about £30 a month. Mm-hmm. And then the bite-sized courses that we do range from £97 to £197.
Oh, right, OK.
So all quite affordable.
Indeed.
And, yeah.
And you mentioned earlier that you were going to introduce some new courses, some new subjects. Can you reveal some of those now, or are they under wraps?
We've got one that we're launching very soon, and it's all about speaking confidently on video. So we know that video marketing now is really important in your business to get the message out there, especially in our industry, because people want to see who you are, and you need to build rapport, build trust with your clients. So it's all around speaking confidently on video to help, you know, other therapists, makeup artists record videos to put on their social media and promote their businesses.
Yes, but it's funny you should mention that, because there's that vlogger, isn't there, Zoella, I think, who's done amazingly well, hasn't she, of showing how she does her makeup and everything.
Yes.
She's got an amazing following, hasn't she?
Yes, she's got a huge following, but even for small businesses to appeal to their target market, video marketing is a really great way to kind of break the ice, let's say. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's really, really good.
And what other subjects are you going to be following?
So we've got lots of courses around staff management. So most therapists will open a salon or open a business and, you know, they don't have any management skills. So we've got courses around kind of HR, I suppose, and staff management. We've got courses around social media, different platforms, email marketing. So there's a long list of ways that we support our small business owners.
And presumably you've written all the content yourself for all these courses.
Yes, I've written the content over 2 years, and I've also collaborated with loads of amazing business ladies through the Athena network. So I've been kind of utilising other people's skills and qualifications, really, to be able to offer our audience a varied, you know, subject matter, really.
And what advice do you have for somebody starting up their own business?
I think someone starting up their own business in the health and beauty industry, I think you need to begin by doing plenty of research. So customer research, I think you need to ask lots of questions and be clear who your target audience and who your target market is before you start thinking about what where you're going to go and what products you're going to take on. So by doing that kind of research in the beginning, I think that's key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Any advice about staffing? Because one of the most critical things, isn't it, is finding the right staff and, very importantly, how to keep them. Do you have any advice on that?
There's lots of advice that I've got. I think ask for help is the number one thing when taking on staff. And to bear in mind, there are legal implications when you're taking staff on. So, and don't rush it. You know, really take your time. Don't rush into taking on any staff. If you get it right, it can be really amazingly rewarding and a fantastic relationship and great for your business. But if you get it wrong, it can be disastrous. So definitely ask for help is my biggest tip there.
Yes, and presumably take your time in finding the right people.
Yes.
Because it is very difficult to find staff at all these days in lots of different sectors. Do you know why that is?
It is very difficult. I think by not knowing your business properly before you begin to get staff is key, because you need to be clear about what you're offering a potential member of staff. And you need to be in control of, you know, exactly what that member of staff's going to be doing and the relationship you've got. And if it's rushed into and those parts are missed out, it can lead to problems. But I think if everything's put in place and it's all done as it should, then it can be a good thing.
That's good. And what do you think about standards in the beauty industry generally? Do you think there's room for improvement? Absolutely.
So it's one of my passions. Absolutely passionate about raising the standards in our industry. There's the rise of lots of short courses now, which is great because it means people can get into our industry. They can work it around their family. But the problem is short courses that are a day or two just don't give students enough knowledge, really, and skill to kind of go out there and get their own, you know, start their own business up. So I think there's a lot of room for improvement. And Blush Academy is just the beginning, really, of that journey.
Right. And also you mentioned earlier about time management. So I've got to ask you, how on earth do you manage your time? Because you're a beauty therapist and you're running this academy, you know, how do you manage?
Well, I used to be all over the place, to be honest. I was, you know, I would never turn business away. I would try to make myself available for everyone. And actually, it's kind of counterproductive, really. So now I'm very organised with my time. So I offer 2 days a week in my studio to work with clients. And I found that my business has grown as a result of that. And my revenue's increased. And it means that I can wear different hats at different times. So I can do Blush Academy, you know, the beginning part of the week, and then I can focus on my semi-permanent makeup the rest of the time. Otherwise, it can get a bit overwhelming.
Yes.
But I'd say time management is key when you're in business. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Zara. Now, would you like to give us your websites? I know you've got two of them in case people want to get more information.
Yeah. So for semi-permanent makeup, it's ZaraElliottBeauty.com. And for Blush Academy, it's blushacademy.co.uk.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming in, Zara.
Thanks for having me.
So that was Zara Elliott from the Blush Academy. And I'd like to thank all our guests today, Sarah Ditchfield from Candle by Events, Tanya Fraser, business coach, and Zara Elliott, beauty therapist and founder of Blush Academy. And thank you to my producer, Dave Jemitis. We're always keen to hear about local women with interesting lives, so if you know of anyone you think should be on our show, please email justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk with their contact details and we'll get in touch with them. You can see details of our previous and future guests on our website, which is brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen, and you can also find us on Facebook under Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Do follow us on Twitter @Brooklands Radio. This show will be repeated at 8 o'clock on Thursday evening, and the next edition of Just Women will be next Tuesday at 1 p.m, so do listen in. So it's goodbye from me, Jackie Mitchell.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.